Okay, hello everyone. Going off of the presentation you just heard, it's the exact same project. What our focus was doing a qualitative study to identify the self-identified learning needs of the lay health workers in rural Nicaragua. So really looking at what the healthcare workers that we're working with, what they need to know for this to work successfully. Again, we have no financial relationships to disclose at this time. So our purpose and design, we're working off of the cell phone project that you just heard about, and the healthcare workers really are an integral part of the project that we're doing. And in order for the project to work, we need to know what they need to know for them to use the cell phones. Before we could even implement this project, we needed to establish a partnership with them. And by establishing this partnership, we're able to use them in every move that we're making. And to establish this partnership, we asked them what they know and what they would like to know. We did a review of the literature, and it showed no data concerning lay health workers and their self-identified learning needs. So we really needed to establish what they know and what they want to know. With this project and this research, we are really taking the time to understand them and to work with them. And I would really like to push that we're making a partnership with them. It's not just we're going in there and telling them this is how it's going to work. We're working our project around them. Because there was no research to provide a foundation for our study, we conducted a qualitative descriptive study to identify the perceptions of health needs of their community and the learning needs of the lay health workers within the region of Waslala. Our research questions are as follows. What are the lay health workers' understandings about the problems that influence the health of their community? What do the lay health workers of the Waslala region need to know to promote health in the rural communities? And finally, what are the lay health workers' perceptions of using cell phone technology within their communities? And we received university IRB approval. Our data collection consisted of 7 lay health workers that we interviewed personally on a one-to-one basis, and 5 of them were men, 2 women, with an education level ranging from 2nd to 8th grade, and ages ranging from 26 to 70, with a mean age of 41. After the interviews, we conducted 2 focus groups. One was directly following the interviews, and then another was in October 2010 to say what we got from the interviews in the first focus group and see if there was anything else that they needed to add to the description for it to be accurate. To conduct the interviews and the focus groups, we asked the questions in English, and then they were translated by a fluent English-Spanish speaker. And then we had another English-Spanish speaker listening to the translations to confirm the accuracy of the tone and everything that was really that came across through the interviews. And then she also provided field notes, which gave us additional data.
So I'm going to talk about what our findings were. And I was too busy listening to Katie to pull up my notes to be on the right page. Sorry about that. So what we found, as Katie said, we were interested in the perceptions of what the health workers, what their perceptions were of the needs of their community and what they needed to understand. I'm going to talk mostly about those sort of things, and I can answer questions about the cell phone, but I was thinking about the audience and thinking most people work with health workers and may not be doing cell phones. So I can discuss that data, but I'm not going to present it. So what came from our findings and the data were essentially 3 themes. And the 3 themes related to this were the role of the community health worker or the lay health worker, their learning needs, and their resource needs. And as far as their role, and actually most of what we found was they were describing their role, so that really is going to influence how we're going to be approaching them in the future. With a better understanding of their role, that kind of related to what they needed to know. So they described that they're a resource to the community, and community members come to them for questions about health and you know how they should handle certain health problems. They're a teacher for the community as far as they do health teaching, and it tends to be from a health promotion perspective, and it's preventative. And they clearly said that their focus is preventative because they don't have any other resources. They need to prevent health problems in the community because they are, you know, they're living in such poverty. Thank you. This one? Also, they describe the role of care provider. And when I look at this slide and when I tell you what they said, it almost sounds, those of you who do work out in home care nursing, they sound like a home care nurse. So they do say that they described identifying symptoms, but they are really clear to say they did not diagnose disease. It was remarkable. These people with a second to eighth grade education would say, no, you know, we don't diagnose diabetes, we don't diagnose, you know, really complex diseases, but they sometimes would identify people with arthritis, like they didn't see that as a complex disease and it was a problem in their community, so they would identify that. They also would make referrals for people who, you know, were showing up with symptoms and needed to have further evaluation. They would either refer to the clinic or to the hospital to be seen by a physician. They do provide medications. This particular group of community health workers that we're working with have a small formulary that's provided through the parish, and so they would provide medications to the community. They provide things like antibiotics, antacids, antiparasitic drugs, and ibuprofen and acetaminophen are primarily the things that they provide for their community. They also do wound care, and they teach family members to do the wound care. Most of the wound care that they provide is accident-related, a lot of machete injuries and those sort of things, so they would provide services for that. And then they do follow-up care, and the follow-up care that they primarily described was related to pregnancy and following up women who are pregnant, making sure they're getting the, you know, the professional care that Betty described, and then following up postpartum and care for a new child. And then they also anticipate the needs of the community. So this is more of their public health role. And it was, to me, it was, you know, as a public health nurse, this was like so exciting to see that they're doing all these things. But they really were doing surveillance of the community and looking at identifying behaviors in the community that could put them at risk, put community members at risk. And the big issues were related to injury and also related to hygiene, because as Betty described, there is no infrastructure for sewage and for water, and so most of the water that they're bathing with is contaminated. And also because they have lack resources, they many of them described that they would people in the community would wash themselves with the same soap that they used to wash their dishes and the same washcloth. And so if you can only imagine the bacteria that's being exchanged there. And then they also described a role really of a case manager, of looking at the needs of the community and planning for future needs. And they looked described this as looking at people with disabilities and seeing how they're getting along within their home with family members, but what might be the future needs, and also the needs for the elderly. And they one particular participant described considering nursing home placement, because there is a nursing home in the town, and they were looking at how was the family doing caring for this older person and that they may need a nursing home. And you know, it was like, wow, you know, that's stuff that our nurses do here. As far as their specific learning needs, what was so remarkable to me personally, and this kind of relates back to the things we've been hearing about public health nursing and at the luncheon of, you know, the heart and our mission, is that these community health workers or lay health workers are, I can only describe them as sponges. They could not learn enough information. They wanted, you know, while we were there, they wanted to learn more, and they were very clear on the resources that they needed. And that's really typical also of adult learners. So we need to think about that as we teach them and include adult learning theory. But specifically, they described needing to know more about care of people across the life cycle. So, you know, from pregnancy postpartum, early childhood development and the health issues related to that, and then into describing needing more information about care of the elderly. Specifically for the elderly, they wanted to know about nutrition. They also had a very good understanding of, or considering their education level, they had a really good understanding of basic pathophysiology of a lot of diseases, with some traditional understanding. So there was some examples of people describe arthritis was a big problem in the community, and with as far as what was causing arthritis, it was being very agitated and getting in cold water, and it was the combination of those two things. So that was certainly not our understanding of how arthritis occurs. But everything else, they had a pretty solid basic understanding, but they really wanted to know more. And the big health problems that they identified, as Betty said, respiratory problem was an issue, but also gastritis, dehydration and diarrhea were the big problems, and you know that gets back to the problems with hygiene. And then they also wanted access to resources as far as more teaching tools for them to do teaching within their community for you know disease causation, disease prevention, and hygiene. And then also they many of them said they wanted to have more computer skills. Now, where they live, most of these communities do not have electricity, nor do they have computers, but they can come into the village. And so that's something for us to think about in the future, is adding that for to teach them. They had a very long wish list of things that they need, and that is fine. And you know, we wanted to hear those things, and we were asking those questions. They really, as I said, they were sponges and wanted to learn as much as they could. So they wanted reference books on, you know, health and pathophysiology. I mean, not, you know, the textbooks, but things that they could use as references. They do have some references from the ministry, but they wanted their own copy that they could use. They also, as far as references, asked for English-Spanish dictionaries. And I'm thinking, what do you need that for? And apparently they get a lot of package inserts or instructions that are in English, and so that way they could translate it themselves. So very innovative people. Good for you guys. Again, they wanted information about health problems, going back to their role as teachers. And then they wanted tools to teach the community members. And they were very clear on what their community members needed, as very basic instructions, a lot of pictures. They really were able to identify the tools that needed for their community. They did say that they needed more medication. Some of those issues of they have medications, but they may run out of certain medications, so they wanted to be better stocked. And we can talk about the cell phone and using that to help them with that. They also asked for IVs. Some of them can start IVs, and what they really wanted was saline for dehydration. So they're able to do that. They asked specifically for supply bags and to have their own stethoscope, blood pressure cuff, pads of paper and things. And when we were down there in October, as Betty said, we did. That was one of the things we brought were supply bags for all of them and started teaching, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, they asked for a base house for meetings, that they would have their own place for meetings, that they could, you know, have resources there for them. And then they wanted other people to support their teaching. And what they meant by that was there are other people that go out into the community that don't have a health background but understand the basic concepts of hygiene and health. And if these people would just support what they're teaching, it would help in behavior change. And, you know, we all know that in public health, if you hear it from different places, it does help. In the communities, there are groups of lay clergy that go out. So while they're helping people with spiritual needs, if they can also address, you know, are you getting the care you need for your child and those sort of things, it would support them. So that was helpful. And then they also talked about money. And I two areas that they talked about regarding money was if they could have a little fund for people in the community when they needed additional supplies. So there are medications offered for them that people can, they pay voluntarily, but if they needed additional medications that they could purchase for them, or if they needed wound supplies, they could purchase it for people in the community. And then they asked for money for themselves, and I was like, good for you guys, you're speaking up and asserting for yourself. And they said that they are volunteer and that they do their work, you know, for the love of their community and for God, but they
support their family economically by agriculture. And so if, when they're out, you know, doing the community health worker role, they're not able to do the agriculture. So if they had some money to be paid for that work, it would enable them to focus a little bit better on the needs of the community and not be kind of so split with, you know, trying to juggle it, keeping their family fed and helping their community.
Huh. Okay. What am I doing, Katie? Let's see, maybe that. There we go.
So, just to sum up of where do we go from here, we really do need to keep in mind that these are adult learners. There is definitely a difference between our level of education and theirs, but these are very innovative, creative people, and we need to listen to what they're telling us as far as their needs are. We did go down in October, and we brought the supply bag, and so we have started basic assessment skills with them of taking blood pressures and pulses and respirations and documenting that, and that's some of the early things that they'll be transmitting by cell phone. So that's really where we are, and that's where we're headed. Yeah, they're divided by their community. So there's one lay health worker, or health promoter is what they call them there, in their community. Every community has one. And then some communities have one and a midwife.
And the size of the community it really varies.
Yeah.
Just from the lay health workers that we talked to, it ranged from, you know, around 30, you know, 30 to 50 people in a community to there was a community with around like 300.
Yeah.
With this one
right.
health worker, so...
And as Betty said, a community is really a school or a few buildings and then remote houses. So, you know, we're not talking about a village. So everybody's pretty far away from one another. yes?
I wanted to ask you a question about the medications you mentioned, and you referred to it as getting them in the parish. Do you mean a church, or is that the organization?
Yes. Oh, thank you. It is the parish is the church.
And so do they get any additional help from other faith-based organizations, NGOs? I mean, like, for instance, medication for AIDS and
this particular program is supplied by the church. And they have designed it really, and that's also why we picked these health workers for the cell phone project, is they're a little entrepreneurial in that they get this, you know, cachet of drugs, and then they give them out, and then the idea is that they'll get people in the community to purchase the drugs, and then they can replenish the drugs. So that's how it happens there. So that, and that we're kind of hoping that something comes out and evolves for maintaining the cell phone project.
How did the lay workers get their training to begin with, and sort of who organized that?
The parish, the church, actually has these divisions. I mean, the church is very organized in meeting the needs of the community, and they have their own ministry of health, but it's not the government ministry of health. And so they organize them, and the young man that Betty referred to, the Canadian, he is the one that oversees them, but they also have like a health educator and a nurse that goes out into the community too. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not through the Nicaraguan Ministry of Health.
Yes. No. There's
when,
not. There's not a lot of money there. There's not. There's just not a lot of resources.
One more question.
So this is a partnership between the universities, the church,